Learning Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 44. We are using the commentary by Ma'am Loes, by Rav Shmuel Yishalmim. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to our hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 81, Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Tiku bash chodesh shofar v'kesel leyom chagenu. Blow the horn at the new moon, at the coming time of the moon for our feast day. On this new moon, Rosh Hashanah, blow the horn as Hashem has commanded. On the first day of the month, you will have a Shabbos, a memorial of blowing horns, a holy gathering, as the Pasuk says, Chumash Vayikra. The shofar is sounded on this day because our father's toil of servitude in Egypt was abolished on Rosh Hashanah, and they rested. Blowing the shofar is a sign of freedom. Thus, the shofar is sounded at the conclusion of Yom Kippur to signify the freeing of slaves. At the coming time of the moon, on the date designated as our feast day, the Chachamim explained that Keseh is linked to Kisui, a covering. They said, what Yontif occurs when the moon is covered up? Say it is Rosh Hashanah. On all other festive days, the moon is visible. But this is not so on Rosh Hashanah, as will be explained. Thus, the Keseh has the same numerical value as Levana, moon. Sound the trumpets at the onset of the new moon, as it says plainly in the Torah, in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you will blow with your trumpets, a pasuk that's found in the Chumash Bamidbar. It does seem fitting that he also sounded the horns. Sound them on the solemn day when the moon is covered. Then sound them again on the day when sacrifices are slaughtered. Thus the term in Aramaic for he slaughtered is Vayichus. Rosh Hashanah was set for an appointed time when the moon is covered, so Satan should have no opportunity to prosecute. For this reason it is our feast day. The Pesikta says, but is not the moon covered up at the beginning of every month? Say rather, what month is it? Now when the moon is covered, it is a festive day. Say, that is the month of Tishrei. The reason is that Satan should not know it is then Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment, and so he will not persecute. This is also the reason that the time of the new month is not announced on the Shabbos preceding the month of Tishrei. The Medrash says, when on Rosh Hashanah the sun makes her accusations for men's wrongdoing in the daytime, Hashem tells her to bring one witness. She ventures out to fetch the moon, but cannot find her, because she is then covered up. Accordingly, it says, blow the horn at the new moon, at the covering time for our feast day. The meaning of this passage is as follows. The sun complains that she does the will of Hashem, whereas man sins, whereupon Hashem hints to her that man has a foul body like the moon, and the body is disposed to evil. The sun goes looking for the moon, but the moon is not shining. It is a hint that when the sun of success shines upon a human being, this causes him to sin, and his mental vision is darkened. The new moon conceals itself because the angels ask why the Jewish people do not chant songs before Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. For the angels cannot chant songs on high until Israel has chanted songs below. Why is Hallel not recited on Rosh Hashanah? The reason is that the books of the living and the books of the dead lay open before Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. This explanation has been challenged. Granted that the books of the dead cause dismay and it is a reason to avoid songs of praise, but why are the books of the living mentioned as a reason? This matter may be clarified by means of analogy. A king went to war and was victorious. Upon his return, he ordered a feast to be prepared. and mournful melodies played. He explained, "When I behold the families of those who died or were wounded and see their despondency, I am not part of this celebration." Similarly, when Hashem sees the living who will be grief-stricken over those who are to die during the year, there is no outpouring of joy before Him. For this reason, Hallel is not recited. Some say that our feast day refers specifically to the festival of Sukkot, which is usually called simply the feast day, Chag. A subtle interpretation says, at the covering for our feast day, compare it to a king who issued a decree prohibiting imports from other countries. But the merchants violated the royal decree and filled their stores with foreign goods. The king was a compassionate man, but he could not let this matter pass without doing something about it. He let it be known that on a given day the king would conduct the search, and anyone found in possession of imported merchandise would be severely punished. His idea was to give everyone an opportunity to hide the goods in his possession. Only those who did not hide it will then suffer the consequences through no fault of the king. The meaning of this story is as follows. Repentance is a covering for sins. As it says, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered over, and it says, love covers all sins. A pasuk is found in Sefer Mishlei. Accordingly, the singer says here, blow the horn at the new moon, at the covering time for our feast day. Prepare for the judgment day of Rosh Hashanah when everything will be covered over. The same call is heard in the sounding of the shofar. A different rendering of Tikku B'Chodesh Shofar says, blow the horn in the month. The pasuk is thus seen as alluding to the practice of sounding the shofar during the entire month of Elul preceding Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk 5. For it is a decree for Israel, a statue of the God of Yaakov. For it is a decree for Israel, a statue of the God of Yaakov, to sound the shofar on this day, a day of judgment before Hashem. It is a statue of the God of Yaakov for us to remember that this is the day of judgment. Therefore should all his people assemble to worship him and to rejoice in his kingship by blowing the shofar. A decree is a divine ordinance for which no apparent reason exists. A statue means a reasonable ordinance. The duty to rejoice on the day of judgment is a decree without a reason, since it would appear, on the contrary, that this day should be for us a day of solemnity. For those who are so righteous and on such a high plane as to be called Israel, sounding the shofar has the status of a decree. Their hearts are in any case alert all the time to serve Hashem. But for those who are in the lesser plane called Yaakov, the command to sound the shofar and stir their hearts is a reasonable statue of the God of Yaakov. In relation to us, it is a decree. We are not to probe the reasons for this mitzvah. But it is a statue of God of Yaakov before God of himself. He knows the reason for it. It also hints that this is a day of judgment for the God of Yaakov. Another emphasis says the day of judgment pertains to the attribute of judgment and law, corresponding to the name Elikim, a statue of God of Yaakov. Nevertheless, it is a mitzvah to sound the shofar. When on this day prosecutors come to accuse Israel as lacking in merit, Hashem says, even as they fulfill mitzvahs for which there is no reason, so they deserve to be exonerated in judgment for no reason. Thus the Torah says, because they keep that which is a decree for Israel, lacking any reason, it is a statue of the God of Yaakov that their deliverance be without a reason. In contrast, regarding evildoers, it says, deliverance is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your decrees. The pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. To deserve being imbued with fear of Hashem, it is necessary to perform commendable deeds. So blow the horn at the new moon, at the covering time for our feast day. It is known that the sound of the ram's horn awakens awe, as it says in Amos, shall a horn be sounded in the city and the people not be afraid? Blow the horn on this well-known occasion, on the new moon of the month of Tishrei. This covering time is set aside for repentance and as our feast day. Accordingly, we recite as part of the Rosh Hashanah prayer, today is the birth of the world. Today will stand in judgment all the creatures of the world, whether as sons or whether as slaves. If as sons, be compassionate towards us as a father is compassionate to sons. If as slaves, our eyes are riveted upon you until you favor us with grace. The world was created on Rosh Hashanah, although it was actually created on the first day corresponding to the 25th of Elul. The main creation, the creation of man, took place on the sixth day. Because man is the essence and basis for the existence of everything, we chant that he is a remembrance to the first day. Today is the birth of the world, because today the world was created, and God's kingship became evident. Inasmuch, however, as the creation of the world was an act of loving kindness by the Creator, why is it that on this day we stand in judgment, giving a strict accountability? The answer must be that you want to bestow loving kindness upon us. Therefore, our eyes are riveted upon you until you favor us with grace. Accordingly, the Torah says here, blow the horn at the new moon, for while it is a day of judgment, it is also our feast day. It is a day of loving kindness before Hashem, and on this day He fixes sustenance for everyone and passes judgment on all peoples. On the basis of this pasuk, our Chachamim reduced that a person's entire livelihood is fixed for him between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Not included are his expenditures for the Shabbos and Yom Tovim, and the expenditures for teaching Torah to his sons. The more he spends for these purposes, his yearly income is increased by that much, and the more he reduces his expenditures for these purposes, the more is taken off from his income. Thus, Rabbi Abuhu said, for it is a decree, a chuk, for Yisrael. Chuk knows sustenance, as it says, they did eat their portion of chukum in Chumash Bereishis. Marzutu said that one can make this inference from, feed me with my allotted portion, lechem chuki, found in Mishlei. Based on the literal meaning of chadash as new and shafar as to improve, the Gemara says further in the name of the Chachamim, renew your deeds and improve your deeds, then I will cover up your iniquities. In other words, to the extent that one adds it, it is added to him. If a man was granted 100 coins as his yearly income, this includes the minimum necessary expenditures for the Shabbos and Yom Tov, and also the expense of hiring one Torah teacher for his children. If he now adds expenditures for food in order to invite guests to his house on the Shabbos and Yom Tovim, the additional amount is added to his yearly income. Conversely, if he spent less than necessary for the Shabbos and the Yom Tovim, his yearly income is reduced accordingly. For instance, if he spent 10 coins less, 10 coins are subtracted from his income. One is reimbursed for additional expenses related to the Shabbos and Yom Tovim, and the reason is that the allotment for this purpose is not fixed ahead of time, unlike for the keeping of other mitzvahs. It is because this hosting of guests, etc., depends on the dictates of the heart and cannot be anticipated. Another reason is that purchases necessary for keeping other mitzvahs are made at long time intervals. For instance, one buys a set of tefillin, and this suffices for very many years. It is otherwise concerning expenditures for the Shabbos or for Yom Tov. Recall what we have written about how Shammai and Hillel would prepare for the Shabbos. What one spends for this purpose is a good measure of one's trust in Hashem. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Eidus b'yehoseif samo b'tzeisu al eretz Mitzrayim tzvat lo yedati eshmo. He said it as a testimony in Yosef. When he went forth over the land of Mitzrayim, I heard a language unknown to me. Here the singer brings to light the good things done by Hashem for our forefathers on this day. On this day Hashem put it into Pharaoh's heart to place the gold diadem about Yosef's neck, as found in Chumash Bereishis. Thus, Eidus is related to Eidus of gold jewelry. Then Yosef went forth over the land of Mitzrayim, as it says, and Yosef went out over all the land of Mitzrayim. Yosef would say about himself, I heard a language unknown to me. When he heard of all of those praises showered upon him, he said, I now understand the language that I did not understand before. He said it as a testimony in Yosef. Yosef will be the one to explain to us why Rosh Hashanah was especially set for this month, rather than any other month of the year, and why for this day of the new moon. The reason is that Yosef came out of prison on this day, and on this day he was appointed over Mitzrayim. Then he went forth over the land of Egypt to save them from the pangs of hunger and to be of help to them, to his family. This was also the day of judgment for plenty and famine, and the singer says that the Almighty set up beforehand this testimony in Yosef. On this day, Yosef was liberated from imprisonment in order to announce the judgment on famine and plenty. The present pasuk begins with the letter Ayin, Eidus, and ends with the letter Ayin, Eshma, which alludes to the angel Gabriel having taught Yosef 70 languages overnight. As the Gemara says, so it was that when Paro subsequently discovered that Yosef knew one language, the holy tongue, more than he did, he placed him on the throne and decreed that Yosef remove his shoulder from the burden and cease working as a cook over his pots. Yosef's prison task was as a cook for the other prisoners. Zohar says, Yosef learned 70 tongues in addition to the holy tongue. But when Potiphar's wife kept talking to him, he pretended not to hear. This continued until the last day when she caught him by his garment. On that occasion, a prophetic spirit urged him, keep you from this strange woman, from the alien woman who makes smooth her words, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. When one is on guard not to commit transgression in this matter, he is worthy of cleaving to the divine presence. He participates in the testimony in Yosef. This refers to the letter Hey of Hashem's name added here to Yosef's name, Yehosef. Yosef normally spelled Yud Vav Samach Pei, final Pei. And here we find it says Yud Hey. The Zohar says that the Tseso al Eretz Mitzrayim refers to the Almighty when he went forth over the land of Mitzrayim to redeem us, as it says a passing Chumash Shemos, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. Then after we were redeemed, Israel says, I heard a language unknown to me. We heard a different language, one that we did not understand before. Hashem established this day as a testimony in Yosef. Even as Yosef then went forth from slavery to freedom, so shall we emerge from enslavement to redemption. As a testimony in Yosef, Sadra Gaon explains that the mitzvah of sounding the shofar is obligatory for the descendants of Yosef, that of all of Israel. They came out of Mitzrayim and entered the land of Israel, whose language was unknown to them. And the merit of Yosef were held back from promiscuity, the Jews emerged from Mitzrayim. For even as Sora symbolized for the woman female chastity, Yosef symbolized male chastity for the men. Here, hence the singer says, he said it as a testimony in Yosef. Yosef attests on behalf of Israel that like him they were not promiscuous. In this regard, then Shemo alludes to the letters of Hashem's name, Yudke, testifying in their favor. Just as here Yosef appears as Yehosef, so the names of the tribes in the wilderness bear those two additional letters, Haruveni, Hashmueni, etc. The singer shows how greatly Hashem's desire to bestow his benefits upon the Jewish people. The Jews in Mitzrayim were not deserving of being redeemed. So steeped were they in the idolatrous practices of Egypt. They were redeemed nevertheless solely in the merit of their righteous women. In the modified names of the tribes, accordingly, the additional letter Hey of Isha, woman, appears ahead of the additional letter Yud. The Hey appears as a prefix, whereas the Yud appears as a suffix to indicate that the Jews were redeemed in the merit of the woman. Like it says, Horuveni, Hashmu'uni. So it came to pass that I heard a language unknown to me. I heard the voice of redemption to which I was not accustomed. I heard it despite everything. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Hasirosi Miseichel. Shichmoy Kapa Midud Tavorna. I have removed his shoulder from the burden. Let his hands keep away from the kettle. According to the Targum, this and the previous pasuk are about Yosef himself. It thus speaks of an improvement in Yosef's personal situation. The singer says in the name of Hashem, I removed his shoulder from the burden. I removed the chains that weighed him down in prison. I let his hands keep away from the kettle. His prison task was to cook food in large pots for his previous master, the chief butcher, and for the prisoners. A subtle interpretation says, Hashem speaks of the Jews in Mitzrayim, and the singer identifies the unknown language that was heard by them. The Jews heard that I removed his shoulder from the burden, as it says in the pasuk in Chumash Shemos, I will bring you out from under the burden of Egypt. It was the language of freedom, that no longer would they suffer the bondage of Egypt. In contrast to what the Egyptians tried to do in order to break their spirit, the men were assigned women's tasks, thus turning them into menial servants who cooked and did housework for the Egyptians. Now they were liberated from this toil. I let his hands keep away from the kettle. Some say I heard a language unknown to me. This is Paro speaking. According to the Medrash, when Moshe and Aaron first came to Paro in the name of Hashem, he said, I do not know this God. Finally, however, he said, now I have heard and urged our swift departure from Egypt. Accordingly, the Torah says, here now bear testimony that I have removed his shoulder from the burden. When Paro urged the Jews to depart, it was like a master giving up ownership of his slave. By law, the slave then acquires his freedom. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Batzara korosa v'chaltzecha e'encha b'seitzu ram evchancha amei meriva selah. You called out in distress, and I rescued you. I answered you when hidden in thunder. I tested you at the waters of contention, the mei meriva selah. Speaking about the people of Israel, the singer describes all the good things which Hashem had done for them on this day. You called out in distress, and I rescued you. The redemption from Mitzrayim began on Rosh Hashanah, for slave labor was abolished on this day, and they rested from their toil. They had called out in distress, and Hashem rescued them from the burden of toil, as it says, and their cry rose up to Hashem by the reason of their toil, and Hashem heard their groaning. That's all this is found in Chumash Shemos. Hashem said to them, when you called out to me in distress, I rescued you. I answered you with thunder and power from where I was hidden. I put you to the test at the waters of contention. I answered you with thunder when you hid. When Egypt was beset by the plagues, I kept you hidden and out of harm's way. Alternatively, the pasuk alludes to the splitting of the Sea of Suf, when he brought confusion into the camp of the Egyptians. Our sages explain, similarly, when you were in distress in Mitzrayim and you called out to me, I rescued you from there. I answered you with thunder when you hid. When you were in hiding, you cried out among yourselves. I answered you in the thunderous voice of mighty and awesome acts publicly displayed. I did so knowing that in the end you would be tested as the waters of contention. Another interpretation says, I answered you by hiding from you the thunder that I brought down upon the Egyptians. I bestowed upon you many good things in order to test you. I brought you safely across the sea. Yet, when I caused you to be thirsty, you did not withstand the test. You quarreled with me about the water at your freedom. I saved you at the sea, knowing that you would fail the test at the waters of contention. Then again, the pasuk says, I answered you with hidden thunder. The answer resembles hidden thunder. The thunder issues first, but it remains hidden in that the lightning is seen ahead of the thunder, for the speed of light is much faster than the speed of sound. Similarly, first comes the deliverance, and only afterwards it is recognized as an act of God. Thus it says, out of a place of distress, I called upon the Lord. He answered me with divine relief. as we'll learn later on, is in Sefer Tehillim. After I'm relieved, I feel that God has answered me. This is what the Torah says. The voice of your thunder rolled. Bolts of lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. From the meeting of clouds comes thunder, and then come the bolts of lightning to light up the world. Thereafter the earth trembles and shakes. When hidden in thunder, when a tzaddik prays for rain, even privately there's thunder. God makes it known that the rain comes on account of the tzaddik. Thus the Talmud relates, the Chachamim would come to Abba Hilkiah that he should pray for rain. Once before they arrived, he said to his wife, "Let us go up to the loft and pray for rain. Perhaps Hashem will agree and bring rain, and then we will avoid receiving credit for it." In the end, however, the Chachamim found out that the rain came on account of him and his wife. "You called out in distress, and I rescued you. Even though you called out to me only when you were in distress and not before, I saved you." The Chachamim teach us that a person should always place his prayer ahead of his trouble. Pasuk 9. Shema Ami Vo'idabach Yisrael Imtishvali. Hear, O my people, and I will testify to against you, O Israel, if you would but heed me. Following your sin at Meribah, as we learned in the previous pasuk, I warn you, hear, O my people, and I will testify against you, O Israel, if you would but heed me, because I have removed your shoulder from the burden, it is fitting that you heed me. Then when you will attend to what I will testify against you, there will be no strange god in you, neither will you bow before any alien god. You will put your trust only in me. You will remember that I am Hashem your God, who brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim. As a result, you will open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. You will declare everything your heart desires, and I will grant all your petitions. Some explain, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak words of admonition, O Israel, if you would but heed them." Now Va'eida also suggests an ornament, as in the Eidei Adayim, precious ornaments, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yechezkel. A corresponding subtle interpretation of the present pasuk says, "Hear, O my people, if you will heed my voice, you will be my ornament. You can become the ornament that I will wear to embellish me." Then again, it says, "Shema Ami Va'idach Bach Yisrael. If you will heed me, then I will testify for you, call you Israel." Israel connotes integrity and dominion. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Lo yeh b'cho keel zor v'lis ishtachad v'lekeel nechor. There will be no strange god in you, neither will you bow before any alien god. There will be no strange god in you. You will be free of those false and evil views that nest in the hearts of men. Neither will you bow before any alien god, but avoid actual idol worship. Some say that the pasuk denotes the evil inclination in man as the alien god. Thus, the Talmud says, "What is the alien god in the heart of a human being? Say it is the evil inclination." They expound further, "Let there be no strange god in your possession. Neither should you bow before any alien god that belongs to others." Another interpretation says, "Let not the image of God I have given you become a strange god within you. B'chol, let it not be a strange from its designated purpose. Then it will come true that neither will you bow before any alien god. You will also not be vessels to a foreign ruler. There will be no strange god in you in thought. Neither will you bow before any alien god. In fact, otherwise God will join the false thought to the heretical deed, and you will be punished for both, as it says in Yechezkel, that I may catch the house of Israel in their heart." A different interpretation is based on the reading of Kel as Hashem's name. "Let not God be estranged within you. Do not say that he is too lofty to attend to those below. Rather, let him be near to you, as it says in Chumash Devarim, 'For what nation is there so great that has Hashem so near to them?' God supervises everyone. He does so even in Mitzrayim, that pit of defilement. Assuredly, then, he supersedes men who are base, yet not as much as ultimate level of defilement. There shall be no strange God in you. This means the trait of anger. Be rid of the trait of anger, and you will avoid bowing down to an alien God. Please turn tape over to side B.